Welcome to the Newtown Big Dreams Podcast, an interview-style talk show that's your gateway to the fabulous and fascinating people who relocated to start a new life. Whether you're new to our podcast or your city, our fellow neighbors from across Canada, North America, and the entire English-speaking world share their stories of reaching new horizons and big dreams. So sit back and relax as we navigate in-depth and intimate conversations with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, executives, creatives, and anyone who can share their story about their Newtown big dreams. And now, here's your host, Luke J. Menkes.
Hey, everybody. It is April 13th, 2021. It's about 3 o'clock here on the West Coast. And I'm here today with Jefferson Rogers from JKR Windows. Jefferson is in St. George, Utah today. And his life looks much different than he thought it would. He was once surrounded by beer cans and empty souls. Rogers found his way to a new life. From couch to multimillionaire, Jefferson founded JKR Windows, the fastest growing replacement window company in the world. Today, he spends his time deeply focused on his booming business. In just 3 years, JKR Windows has become a well-oiled door-to-door machine, pulling in over $10 million in revenue in 2020. Jefferson is now the proud host of the Jefferson Rogers podcast, and I want to ask him all about the podcast. And he is spending his time speaking and in other entrepreneurial pursuits. He is dedicated to helping others find their drive and light the path for others as he grows into bigger and bigger things. So Jefferson, thank you for coming on the show today. How is the weather in St. George today?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Luke. It is beautiful out here today. I'm not sure what the actual temperature is, but I'm in short sleeves and shorts. And if I wasn't working, I'd be wearing flip-flops.
Beautiful. And you were born and raised in St. George. I don't know much about it. Where is that, like in relation to Salt Lake City, for example?
So we're about 350 miles from the Salt Lake area.
Okay.
And it's about an hour and a half from Las Vegas. So we're just right here on the border between Utah and a little sliver of Arizona on your way down I-15 to go to Vegas. Mm. So southern Utah, we're high desert. We're about 2,700 feet above elevation. Mm-hmm. So it gets cold during the winter, but not as cold as Salt Lake. And it is beautiful this time of year here.
Right. So what was it like growing up there? Has the city changed much or is it the same?
I mean, it's grown quite a bit. It's one of the, you know, historically over the past 2 or 3 years, it's been one of the fastest growing metropolitan areas in the United States.
Really?
So it's changed quite a bit since I was a kid. We used to be able to jump on our pedal bikes and ride all the way across town.
Right.
And parents wouldn't worry too much about it. We were gone all day long, no cell phones, no, didn't worry about having a pay phone or anything. We just show up before the lights, street lights came on. Mm-hmm. Things are a little different now. It's getting more of a big city feel, and we've got, it's like a, used to be a well-kept secret, and it's not so secret anymore because there's lots of people moving here from all over the country.
Really? Do you know how many people approximately live there?
I think in all of Washington County, there's close to 100,000 people here. So it's still relatively small compared to Salt Lake or Phoenix or some of these big metropolitan areas, but it's growing fast.
Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of similar to our town. It's about 150,000 where I am. And we're a four-hour drive to the coast where Vancouver is Canada's second largest city. So it's kind of a mid-sized town. I like it. It's got a bit of a small town feel, but there's still anything you want to do, any restaurant or anything, it's all here. So that's great.
Yes, very similar feel here. Still got that small town feel, and you run into people you know everywhere. But not quite like going to Salt Lake City. It's a lot bigger up there.
For sure. Did you ever think of leaving?
You know what? I did leave, actually. I was born here. And I left when I was 26 years old, 24 years old, I signed up to go to school at Motorcycle Mechanics Institute in Phoenix, Arizona. And I left for about 10 years. And it's kind of a long story to how I ended up back here, but I was a partying fool when I was a kid, and I had to get away from my old crowd and repeating all the same patterns. So that was my way of doing it. Yeah. Without actually developing any discipline, I figured if I moved away that I would be able to get away from it, and ended up just finding another crowd of people that did very similar things to what I was doing back home.
Right.
And got myself into some more trouble, and ended up moving back. And I tried a year in Salt Lake, too, up in northern Utah, where it's much, much colder, and I didn't last very long because I'm allergic to cold, come to find out.
Right.
And then I ended up back in my hometown only after I decided to get my ass sober, because I was always scared to come back here, because I was always either high or drunk and driving around drunk most of the time and scared to death, because there's the volume of cops compared to people here was so high, I thought, and all these tricks I'm playing on my mind, like I'm going to get caught or something.
Right.
So came back sober with clear eyes, and actually seeing it for the first time with clear eyes and how beautiful this place is and how great a place it would be to raise my kids. So we came back.
Nice. So what made you decide to get sober and change things around?
Well, the family had a lot to do with it. And it just, you know, it was one of those things that it always haunted me since I was a kid, that it wasn't really the true version of who I was. And I wasn't able to live up to my true potential by hanging out with the people I was hanging out with and being focused on the things that I was focused on. There was a lot of negativity, a lot of drama, a lot of drunk nights, stirring shit with people and my wife in particular. And it was finally enough was enough. I had to first admit that I had a problem and told my wife that I wanted to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been sober now since January 8th, 2018.
Wow. And you made some tremendous changes since then. Like, were you surprised at how much progress you made in life and in business and stuff once you made that change?
You know what? I think a little bit surprised, but that was some of that that was haunting me all those years, is I knew that I had so much potential. I had so much energy that I could use for positive, but I was instead focused on cutting out early at the end of the day so I could go drink and just drown away all the anxieties and responsibilities of being a father and a husband. So when I actually decided to pull the trigger on it and refocus all that energy and potential that I had towards building a business and positivity and growth and personal development, I knew that I could make it happen. I just, you know, didn't realize that it can happen so fast if you're ultra focused and putting in a lot of work.
Amazing. What, when did you start your company, Jake Harrow Windows?
So March 22nd, 2018 was when I started the company. It was, you know, it was about 6 weeks after I had quit drinking and smoking, and kind of what led to me starting my own business, because I was working for a company that did the same exact thing that I do now for 3 years prior.
Okay.
But what happened was, when I decided to quit, I went through a detox period of like 4 or 5 days where I was just sick in bed. Mm-hmm. I didn't really realize what it was at the time.
Yeah.
But I was feeling sorry for myself, and I was completely just laid out. I mean, I couldn't hardly do anything. My wife was taking care of me, and I had a lot of time to think. And, you know, when you're laying there and you can't support your family, you got a lot of things going through your head. But right then, and just had kind of a moment of clarity that I was already doing a lot of the things that it would take to run a business. And I had been reaching out to a couple of mentors of mine and getting encouraged to do it. And I was scared to death to do it, but getting sober was one of the big things. Now I could refocus all that energy and back and be able to make a big commitment like that, because it was going to take a lot of time, and responsibility was going to raise way up. Commitment level was going to raise way up. So right there laying in bed, I decided to start my own business. And 6 weeks later, I got my papers back, and 2 weeks after that, I wrote my first contract, and I actually had the very first full month in business with my own business was my very best month in production ever after doing that same business model for 3 years.
Wow. So you understood the business, you understood pricing, suppliers, installation, all that stuff. Do you guys like supply and install the windows?
So we use a third-party manufacturer. Our hopes are mm-hmm. to buy and run our own manufacturing one day. We're not quite there yet, but we mm-hmm. are a sales organization. And just within the past year, we also got our general contractor's license. So we'll also do a good portion of all of our own installs as well.
I see. Excellent. So was there a big learning curve? Like you worked for a company doing the same thing for a time. Was there a big difference going from employee to company owner?
As far as the operational stuff and the day-to-day, as far as sales, I pretty well was doing most of that for 8 or 10 months after mm-hmm. I had made that move back to Northern Utah. They let me open my own location, and I was basically just running an entire region by myself mm-hmm. without a lot of assistance besides, you know, the actually ordering of the windows and overseeing the entire process. So, but because of my background in construction and having worked with my dad for years and years and years as a general contractor, I had, you know, just a lot of common sense and the ability to figure things out. I think the biggest learning curve for me was the people business, the people portion of the business.
Mm-hmm.
I had spent the first couple of years doing windows, not really understanding the importance of establishing myself as a leader and working with people and gaining those experiences and the confidence to have difficult conversations and things. That was the toughest thing for me the first couple of years in my business was the people portion of it.
Right. Yeah. Cause I know, when you're drinking a lot, you're really just thinking about getting off work, getting your next paycheck. You're not really thinking about the customer so much. Right.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. That wasn't much of a concern ever.
Did you have any, interesting setbacks when you started the business? Any kind of crazy things that happened that you maybe doubted that you were going to be able to make it, or was it just smooth sailing right from the start?
I mean, it was pretty smooth once I decided to pull the trigger on it.
Mm-hmm.
But those months leading up to that decision were all of those negative thoughts and self-doubt and can I do it? Do I have what it takes? Am I willing to put in all this time and effort and commitment level to now run a business? So I would say that was in the beginning, that was one of the hardest things for me was just to overcome that fear of the unknown and pull the trigger on it. Mm-hmm. And then I've learned a lot of great lessons since. I mean, it's been a little over 3 years now.
Yeah.
And still the people portion of the business and communication and fulfilling commitments, over promising and not being able to deliver on things is something that I take a lot of pride in, and I haven't always been able to do it. So those really hurt, and I've messed up some relationships because of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the day when you told your previous boss that you're quitting and you're going to start your own company?
I do. I remember right exactly where I was.
How did that person react when you told him you're going to go into business?
He handled it really well. I mean, he saw it coming. I had a lot of potential, and I had just the last 2 months that I worked for him, I had my best 2 months ever, like blew all of their personal production records away. And, you know, he hated to lose me. It was kind of one of those funny things where I was actually supposed to be one of the partners in that business. And I always held a little bit of a grudge, and I made a couple of late night phone calls when I was drunk to him, telling him how disappointed I was that they did it without me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was kind of a shit show. So I was drunk and stoned all the time, and they ended up doing it without me. And I just ended up being their top sales guy and helping them open some new locations and stuff. So it was my own fault, but it was also a blessing that it didn't work out, because now, you know, we'll do 10 times as much revenue as they'll do this year.
That's amazing. So you're in competition with them. Do you run into their salespeople or that person?
We do. So yeah, actually, we use the same manufacturer, and the manufacturer sends us on a trip every year to Mexico, typically. They've gone to some other places, but I've only ever been to Mexico with them. And they're there every year. So we actually end up hanging out on the trip together most of the time.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings. I mean, you could tell things are a little bit weird for them, especially now that I'm so big.
Right.
But they're great people. And he was a great mentor. He was also one of the influences that got me back, started heavy drinking and stuff like that. So I learned a lot from him, but it was also at a time in my life where I was a little bit impressionable and and thought I could get back to drinking without getting it out of hand. And I just realized after those years of all kinds of happenstances that got me into trouble with my wife and with the police and all kinds of escapades, that it's either all or nothing for me with most things in life. And that's one of them. And I just decided that alcohol has got to be out of the picture.
Yeah.
And now it's easy. I can go hang out with people that are drinking. It's not a temptation or anything. I still like to go out and have fun and karaoke and dance and everything. I don't need to be drunk.
That's awesome. That's really good to hear, because I know a lot of people that would like to quit drinking, but they think that, you know, they're not going to be able to interact with anybody. And there's that fear, I think. And it's good to hear that it's possible.
That was one of the scariest things for me. And it haunted me for years, because I knew that I wanted to quit. Mm-hmm. But my entire life revolved around it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've heard people talk about, I got to get liquored up a little bit before I can do karaoke. Just give me like an hour or so.
Yeah.
And same thing with dancing. Like, everybody's standing around just waiting to get a little drunk and get some liquid courage in them. And it scared the heck out of me, because I love dancing. I love going out and having a good time. I love doing karaoke. And I was worried that I would never be able to do those things again. It was all just a bunch of anxiety built up for absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
Because come to find out that I still have the same personality and an even brighter personality when I'm not intoxicated or inebriated or cloudy and making silly decisions.
Right.
And I could still go out and have just as fun a time doing those things.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. So You have a door-to-door sales organization. So you guys actually knock on people's doors and say, your windows look pretty bad. Can we replace them? Or how do you do that? Because it's been like a couple decades since I tried something like that.
Really? We've got a really cool approach. And I can't take credit for it, because I swiped it from the other company that I used to work for.
Right,
and I just basically made it my own, following their same concept. And it was passed down a couple of generations from a couple other companies that, you know, I'm not sure who originally came up with it, but we use a really cool approach where we go into a neighborhood and we target them pretty specifically for homes that are old enough that the homeowners are going to start thinking about doing those type of upgrades.
Yeah.
Usually 15 years and older.
Mm-hmm.
And they're built with a home value that's at a certain range too. So we're talking to the right people that are going to be interested in doing those kind of upgrades and interested in energy efficiency, because that's one of the important aspects, is how much money we can save you on your energy bills and make the home more comfortable and save money on your energy bills or on your the life of your AC and your furnace units, because they're not having to work so hard to keep that temperature maintained inside your house by pushing it all out of the windows. The windows are going to seal it in. You can maintain the temperature much easier. And then it's, you got an even temperature on one side or the other. And then cosmetics have a good thing to do with it as well. Really beautiful windows.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have some tax credits as well. So it's, for us, we use a sample window too. So we can go in and show them this window that even general contractors and people that are really involved and experienced in the construction industry have never seen anything like these windows.
Really?
So we can get people really excited about just some of the cool features and abilities that windows have in their technology now that is kind of an unknown thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you still do the door-to-door sales, or do you have a team taking care of that now?
So yeah, we have around 20, between 20 and 24 guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
between our two locations in southern and northern Utah. Mm-hmm. And we're out 6 days a week, out targeting these neighborhoods that need us the most.
Mm-hmm. So do you still do that? Do you still knock on doors?
And I don't do it as much anymore. I'll go out and do some training occasionally. I'm actually heading out after this to go meet up with my team out there because I have a door-to-door trainer in town.
Yeah.
From a company called Door-to-Door Experts.
Okay.
And going to meet up with those guys, and we're going to do a little bit of filming out on the doors. Huh. And I get a little bit rusty, but I could still go hold my own out there.
Does that make you nervous?
You know what's cool about it is as long as I've been doing it, and as well as I know this business, I still get nervous when I go knock doors.
Really?
I don't think that ever goes away. And if it does, you got something funny wrong.
Right. But it's no problem. It's not like debilitating nervousness where you're like, I'm not feeling so well. I got to go take care of my cat or making excuses like that.
Trust me. I used to have all the excuses. I've got this story of when I first started making those changes in my life. I was supposed to be out door knocking. Mm-hmm. I was in Draper, Utah. I was on the side of the road scrolling through my Facebook instead of door knocking. Because that's the hardest door is your car door. Mm-hmm. When you pull up to a neighborhood and you know this is a great hood, your mind is playing tricks on you, the hardest door is the car door. So I ended up seeing a Grant Cardone message come across my Facebook page. That was for an ambassador program, cost $1,100. And I was dead broke. I had just gotten in a big fight at a concert, and I was kind of trying to patch things up with my wife. I got my car impounded. Mm-hmm. My son's birthday party was the next day, and we had to Uber all the kids to the birthday party. And I was completely hungover. And it was one of those messages that just came in the right time. And I had one of those feelings that this guy can help me. I need to do this. I called my wife and told her, I was spending our last $1,100 to join this program. I hope you trust me because I need to make a change. And that ended up turning into quitting drinking, smoking, starting my business, going from zero to 10 million in just a little over 2 years.
It's amazing. Why do you think you're so much more successful than the company that you started from? I mean, you're basically doing the same thing. You're selling the same product.
Yeah.
So what makes you so much more efficient and successful at it, do you think?
You know what? I'm constantly looking for the next level. Mm-hmm. And I had them as an example of what not to do.
Okay. Can you tell us some of the things that they do that a salesperson should avoid?
So I wouldn't necessarily say it had anything to do with their sales abilities or anything like that. They were both great people, both the partners of this business. They had really great closing ratios, and they had a history in business, a long history. They're both, 10 or 12 years older than me. But the separator was that I'm always looking for an edge. I'm always looking for the next level. I'm very curious about how I can get there and what does that look like and what next level of commitment will I have to do that. And along the way, I paid large sums of money to coaches and mentors and consulting programs to help me accelerate that process.
Right.
So that's one thing that separates me from probably 99% of most business owners out there is I was willing to take money out of my pocket and large sums of it to go pay people to help me how to do it, help me learn how to do it much, much faster than I could ever learn how to do it on my own.
Right. You mentioned Grant Cardone. Is that one of the seminars you attended?
So yeah, now I've been to three of his conferences. They call them the 10X Growth Conference.
Yeah. What are they like? Because I've been thinking about going for a few years, and they look amazing. Do you think it's worth the money?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I mean, it's made me millions of dollars. Just by going to that first one, committing that last $1,100 that I had in my bank account to join one of his mentoring programs has made me millions of dollars. And it will continue to make me millions of dollars because I would have stayed in those same patterns, doing the same things, being scared to death of making a change because I was all the uncertainty. But because, it's not everybody has this similar story to me where Grant Cardone is going to resonate with them at that time in their life when they needed to hear that message. And he had a similar comeback story from overcoming addiction and then turning himself into a just a mega successful businessman, real estate investor, sales professional. Mm-hmm. And he's not anything special. I mean, the guy is, he's a short little 5'6" scruffy looking dude that is from Louisiana, just back country, backwoods as they come. And he is nothing special. He's accomplished a ton, but that's what I do to myself when I see people with success. It's like, I'm happy for them, but why not me? Why can't I do that? There is no reason on this planet that I can come up with why he can do it and I can't. If just from the outside looking in, he may have some special abilities, but anything in life that I come across that I want to do, that's how I get myself going, is kind of just that exposure to who they are and how they did it. And it ain't nothing special. All I got to do is apply myself and learn how to do it and continue to keep growing and growing and growing until I can catch up with that level of experience and exposure that whoever that person is that I'm comparing myself to does.
Yeah, that's great advice. I've listened to half or most of his audiobooks, and I really like the way he speaks. I think he's very enthusiastic and very, very smart, you know, for an ordinary guy, like you said, just grew up with, you know, backwoods. And but I think he's very, very sharp when it comes to sales and getting motivated and understanding like how to use your time effectively and not waste time on frivolous things and so on. But you definitely think it's worth the money, like $1,100 or whatever it costs to go to 10X versus just listening to an audiobook for $20.
I think so. Yeah. For me, the exposure to people operating at a high level and actually like putting myself out there, asking questions to people, introducing myself to people, getting involved with those groups of people operating at a high level. I've paid a lot more than $1,100 since then. I spent over $250,000 last year in conferences and consulting and coaching and mentoring.
That's a lot of money. Would that roughly equal 10% of your income? Or is it just like, how did that number come up? That was just all the things that you wanted to do. And that was the total.
Yeah. Just all the things as they came across my table. If I see somebody that can help me and I get one of those feelings, that intuition, like this guy can help me. And the first $60,000 I spent, I didn't even have it. I talked the guy into giving me a payment plan because I knew that he could help me.
Who was that?
His name's Sam Taggart. He's the CEO of Door-to-Door Experts. He runs the Door-to-Door Con every year in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Cool. So if I had $5,000 to spend on education this year, I'm in sales. Which of these people do you think $5,000 would be effective?
I think there's so many of them out there. Mm-hmm. Grant Cardone is a great one, depending on where you're at in your career and if his message resonates with you.
Yeah.
Brad Lee, I really like Brad Lee as well. I'm heading to an event of his this coming weekend. Mm-hmm. Then if you're in the door-to-door space, it's a no-brainer. Sam Taggart and the Door-to-Door Experts are world-class, and they're just barely scratching the surface of their capabilities. And that $60,000 that I spent with them paid itself off in the first 6 weeks.
That's really great. Tell us about your podcast, the Jefferson Rogers Podcast. What gave you the idea to start it? What's it about? And how's it going?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a wild ride. We threw it together. I got the idea initially from Sam Taggart and Grant Cardone and Brad Lee. It's like all these guys are operating at a high level. And everybody says you're not supposed to compare yourself to other people, but it's the human condition. Like, we can't even help ourselves. We want to compare ourselves to where other people are at. And I'm always like, if they can do it, why can't I? These guys are nothing special. They're just a little bit more experienced. They're a little bit further ahead in the process than I am. Mm-hmm. And it just happened where I had one of the guys that worked for me did Twitch, and he recorded his video games in World of Warcraft live and had all this equipment that he had since put away since he came to work for me because it was taking too much time away from building his skills and focusing on getting better and producing himself as a as a leader within the company. So he had it all just boxed up and said, listen, if you want to start a podcast, I got all of this equipment. We could have it set up by tomorrow if you wanted to.
Wow.
And it wasn't the next day, but 2 days later, we were literally filming our first podcast at 9 o'clock at night with a live stream going from Facebook and YouTube.
So your podcast is a video podcast. Is there an audio version available if someone's like on the treadmill or they're driving and they probably shouldn't watch a video?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're not quite processed all the way through iTunes yet, but mm-hmm. all basically every single other audio podcast platform we're on.
And what is the show about? What do you talk about?
So we talk a lot about entrepreneurial type of things, business ideas, success stories from people who have came from nothing. And similar to me, you know, I'm kind of speaking to an audience that's similar to me through my process 5, 10, even just 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that you're not doing as much as you could, and you know you're not living up to your true potential. And for me, it was Grant Cardone that I heard that message from that kind of lit that fire. And
yeah.
And for me, it's like, maybe if it's only one person, if I do 500 episodes and can only help one person do that, I know it's going to be more than that. But if it's only one person and they take their income from $75,000 to $750,000, mm-hmm. like I did in a very short period of time, it would be worth it for me.
Yeah, 100%. How is the audience going? Like, is it growing? And what are some of the things you've done to grow your audience?
So, yeah, I mean, I haven't been super intentional with it. I know that we've got, I think we were up to like 24 subscribers on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I haven't even checked the downloads mm-hmm. or anything like that. So, you know, it is something that I want to start looking more at. In the beginning, it was just, I heard from a good friend of mine that's a videographer about his path to success, starting to be able to make a six-figure income as a videographer. Mm-hmm. He said for the first 6 months, mm-hmm. all he did was do two pictures and a video every single day. And before he could do another video, he had to do two pictures. And before he could do two more pictures, he had to do a video. Mm-hmm. And every day he held himself accountable to that.
I see.
So, you know, that for me, it's, I try and just keep things simple, and I know that things are going to happen for me because I've manifested it so many times in my life that my audience will grow organically just because I'm genuine and I don't give a shit about money or anything like that. It's more about just getting my message out there and wanting to help people, and mm-hmm. inevitably it mm-hmm. will start growing and getting more attention. And, you know, one of the reasons we're talking today is because I'm trying to get more exposure. And yeah. I've got a team of people helping me just get my name out there a little bit to be able to reach a little bit farther into different parts of the world, different countries. Yep. You never know who you're going to be able to reach at that right time in their life that could make a huge difference and just be a complete change of trajectory just off of one podcast or one conversation that you have.
100%. Yeah, I agree. What do you know how your team was able to locate me? So I was trying to figure that out, and I looked up, you know, your bio, and I was like, this is a great story, but your people contacted me, and I was just curious, like, how they found me.
You know what? We just kind of came up with a criteria that I want to get on similar types of podcasts where I can tell my story, and there's going to be an audience of people that it can resonate with.
Yeah.
And they've reached out to probably 15 or 20 different podcasts that just align with the mission that we have, and yours was one of them.
Well, that's amazing. So, like, I've never been to St. George. I think I've switched flights in Salt Lake City, but I've driven through Utah. So I drove from Toronto, Canada to Los Angeles twice, and I went through Utah. But I know it's beautiful. I don't know anything about Utah, and I think it's really amazing that you guys found me, you know, on the internet. That's good. So it means that we're having an impact, and, you know, we're getting a reach into different parts of North America, and that's awesome. Super great.
Well, I'm excited to be here with you. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's definitely been fun. I'm going to put a link to your show in the show notes and your window company as well. So if there's anybody in Utah looking for great replacement windows, they definitely need to look you up. And,
Yep. And we're always looking for good people. Right now, we're growing so fast, we can't even keep up with the demand of operations and admin and installers and salespeople. So if you're looking for a great career with a growing company with some opportunities, we have a great culture and environment to be a part of. And we grew 500% last year, and we plan on keeping that trend going.
Are you thinking of expanding into other cities? Because you're obviously doing something right.
So yeah, we're working on some new systems and processes right now, kind of like a franchise model where we can pick up and move to any city and have just precise way to drop in and go start operating at a high level.
Hire people, train the people, put the systems in place, and go to work.
Yep, absolutely. So we've got a couple of places in mind. We have all of our licensing in Nevada, in the Las Vegas area. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the first places we were looking at. And then we're also looking at Boise, Idaho, the Phoenix, Arizona area, parts of Colorado. There's lots of great markets that fit well with our business model. And we're just trying to get the systems dialed in. So we're ready to pull the trigger on it. And we know that when we do go, we're going to have some hiccups, but we can go and be successful.
Awesome. Jefferson, thanks for sharing your story today. It's really inspirational, and it was great to talk to you.
Right on, Luke. I appreciate you having me, man. It's been a lot of fun.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Newtown Big Dreams podcast with your host, Luke Menkes, and his authentic guests. And we love our listeners and hope you subscribe now to learn more about the amazing journeys of our incredible guests who relocated to find a new town, big dreams. And remember, make your dreams big.